Our Father and our God, we ask that you open the eyes of our hearts to receive your word. Lead us, Lord, this Lenten season into repentance and faith, that we may see our need for you and your total forgiveness for life and salvation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So our text this morning is based on the gospel lesson, the prodigal son. I'm sure everybody's heard sermons on the prodigal son from different angles, whether it's the father's love or the older son's bitterness and the younger son squandering everything. I want, though, to focus this morning, because our Lenten theme is on repentance, the response of this younger son. So Jesus said a certain man, he had two sons, the younger son demanded, "Divide my inheritance with me." In other words, I no longer want to be associated with you and be under your authority. And don't we see that today with some of our children, right? They want to do their own thing. Now, in Jewish law, the father was really, I mean, this was an unusual thing to do before the father died. But the father consented, and actually, the older son gets two-thirds, the younger son gets one-third in Hebrew law. So this father finally consents, and he says, "Okay, here you go, son. Here's a check." And the son is like, "Hallelujah, I'm going to go do my own thing." So the son sets off in a distant land, and it says he spent everything he had in wild living. The Greek word for wild living means to be wasteful, extravagant, the playboy lifestyle. Nothing was off limits. See it, buy it. Go on the internet, click on buy now. This was great. But then there was one problem. In verse 14, it says, "After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he hired himself out to a citizen who sent him out to feed pigs." He was worse off than ever before. He spent all his money, and I think the indication is that he spent it pretty quickly. No holds bar. I mean, just there, and I'm going to just live the way I want, and this is great. But, you know, that's Satan's little trick with pleasure. Because eventually, we all know the phrase, the bill comes due. Right? And he had nothing now. And he's feeding pigs. You know, I can remember when I was young, and maybe some of you too, what talking to my grandparents, and they would talk about the Great Depression in the 30s. And they would say, nobody had any money. We didn't have anything. And I mean, as a kid, I'm scratching my head. It's like, what do you mean you didn't have any money? There's banks, the Federal Reserve can print as much as they want. But nobody had money. I mean, we've been raised in a culture where we've been so accustomed to abundance. I mean, when we hit hard, the Fed just prints money. That didn't happen back then. And I can remember my great-grandfather had his safe right in the bedroom. And next to that safe was a shotgun. Because all the banks failed. But that's something it's hard to identify with. But it's like this is what this younger son was at the point where he had squandered everything and now there was no money. Now, you know, we may not be like the prodigal son squandering our inheritance on wild living. Come on, I wouldn't do that. But yet we often run away from God to do our own thing, don't we? We have our own distant land of sin where we like to go. That pleasure island. We often ignore God's word, prayer, his body and his blood. We often ignore serving our neighbor, ignoring others. We live in an entitlement culture today. We think we deserve the things we want. And many times, it's us that matters. It would be like when the son ran out of money in today's culture, he would run back to the father and say, "Look, Dad, put more money on the credit card. I'm a little short. I mean, this isn't fair." Don't we see that today, the entitlement attitude? I deserve because it's me. And our culture today says it's the self that matters. Live for the now. Gratify your desires now, because in the end, life has no real meaning. You know, the Bible says our natural state is that of an enemy of God. Selfish, deceitful, worshiping our own self, unable to even search for God. And don't we see this philosophy today in the movies, in the novel, on television? You turn on the television and what are all the commercials telling you? You don't have enough. You need more. So go ahead and get it. Use the credit card. Credit cards are so easy to get. Life at 21, 30% interest. And unfortunately, many Christians get sucked into this way of thinking. The 19th century philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche said, "Because God is dead, live for the moment. Do what your heart desires, no matter what the consequences, because you are all that matters." In other words, like the old beer commercial, go for the gusto. Because in the end, it's all meaningless. You die, and there's no more existence. That's the world's philosophy. And the attitude in our culture today. You know, the Bible says there's a way which seems right to man, but it ends in death. But notice what happens in verse 17. It says, when he came to himself. So this young man is at rock bottom. Now, I like the NIV translation better. It says, when he came to his senses. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, but here I am starving." He came to his senses. He didn't just realize his condition. But you notice he rehearsed a little speech. He said, "I'm going to go back to my father and say to him," and here's the key, "I have sinned against you and am no longer worthy to be called your son." He realized all that he had under the father, how well he was treated, and what he had done was such a disgrace. He was broken. He was at rock bottom. You see, this is the beginning of repentance. Acknowledging that you are wrong. You are not entitled to anything. It's throwing yourself before a holy God. Confessing your sin. And this, brothers and sisters, is the entrance, beginning of the entrance to the kingdom of God. You see, repentance is not just admitting a few mistakes. Oh, we all make mistakes. Oh, well, a few peccadilloes. We're basically good. You know, I feel bad because I got caught. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is a total contrition. It's a total sorrow for what we have done and how we've offended God and how we need to come before him and lay our hearts bare before him and confess to him, "I need you, God." Like King David did, "Blessed is the man whose sin has been forgiven and his transgression taken away." It's when we become aware of the terrible effects of sin has on our lives, the havoc it wreaks in the world. Like this young son sitting in a pigsty, we realize how much we have offended our Heavenly Father and how unworthy we are to be called his children. He didn't go back to the Father and demand more money because things were not fair. He didn't anticipate the famine, so Dad, I gotta have more. No. Instead, this young man, broken and repentant, came back to his father, and when he saw his father, I'm sure he fell down on his knees and said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. What a big difference from our entitlement culture today. No entitlement, no excuses. No, that life has treated me unfair. I'm the victim. But no, it's just brokenness, probably weeping and mourning. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. You know what the mourning is? Mourn over your sin. Because when you mourn over your sin, that's when you can be consoled with the forgiveness of Christ. I wonder how many of us weep over our sin. Seriously, how many of us have a heart of anguish when we offend God and ignore Him? How often do we spend time confessing our sins? Like King David said, against you only, Lord, have I sinned, and I've done evil in your sight. Purge me, for I am filthy. I need Jesus. And you know, when the son fell at his father's knees, he didn't know what to expect. I'm sure he expected, all right, get back there with my hired servants. You scumbag, look what you did. Let me slap you around a little bit. But no. The father responded with that of joy, with celebration. In verse 22, it says, bring quick the best robe and put it on it. Put a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf out and slaughter it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and was found. Jesus says in the Gospels, there's much joy in heaven over one who repents. Do you think the Father's response let me ask you a question. What do you think the Father's response would be if the son came back and said, Dad, I need more money. This is not fair. I'm entitled. I don't think the Father's response would have been the same. Do you? See, it's because when he came broken and repentant, that's when we begin to see the kingdom of God. That's when we begin to see the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives and how much we need him. And that's when we see the total love and mercy of God. The Father didn't put any conditions on the son's restoration. He welcomed him with open arms. He loved him unconditionally. That's the gospel, the forgiveness of sins through Christ our Lord. No matter what you've done, where you've been, no matter what you continue to struggle with, Jesus is there always to forgive you. Just like the Father who embraced the Son, wrapped his arms around him, so our God wraps his loving arms around us. You see, Jesus went to the cross to take the punishment for your sin and for my sin, was raised from the dead to make us right with God. What did we hear in our epistle this morning? God made him, who's him? Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin. In other words, your sin for you, so that you might be the righteousness of God. So, with forgiveness, God declares you righteous, no matter what you have done. That's the gospel. And folks, I wonder, do we really understand the depth? Because we can't understand the gospel unless we understand, like this young man, the depth of our sin. So when God looks at you now,
forgiven and washed, as we sang in that hymn, in the blood of Christ, he sees his son. He doesn't see a condemned sinner. Because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You are in Christ. His love is relentless because it never gives up. His love is so relentless that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us and took our place. Our Father hears our pleas. He engulfs us in a heavenly embrace. He rejoices when his children return home. If you've wandered away, come back. He's always there with open arms. Come back. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever sin, doesn't matter. Come back. He's got open arms. So brothers and sisters, because what God has done for you, this Lenten season is a time for each of us to come to our senses. Amen.